You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, to TPC's annual Valentine's Day extravaganza. My wife is co-hosting with me tonight, along with six of the greatest ladies in the land. You heard from Cyan and Sarah in the first hour. Now joining us is our dear friend, really more like family,
yes,
Kim.
More than
a friend. Kim is a homeschooling, home churching, and homesteading mother of six, but she's a lot more than that. I met Kim for the first time not much longer than when I first met my wife.
Yeah.
It was before the show started, although the show was in the pipeline. We were still a couple of months shy of that first broadcast. And after all these years and time spent together, both on the air and off, in their home, and she and her husband and their children and ours, going on vacations together, Kim is back with us tonight. Kim, we really do love you, and I speak for my wife when I say that.
James, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I have to say, I think my daughter really just summarized everything about you two. And the show started, she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, Mrs. Edwards is just a nice Southern lady. And is Mr. Edwards an extrovert?"
Took her a few seconds to pick up.
Yeah, so she just completely analyzed y'all, right? You know, nice Southern lady,
she's
extrovert.
Right.
There you go.
Well, we could be remembered for far worse than that.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an honor to come after Sarah Dye. I remember several years ago watching her in an interview and just what a brave, well-spoken lady. So I'm just humbled and honored just to be able to come on after someone like that, and so many other ladies you're having on the show tonight. And
well, they're all, yeah, you're
so
all equally great and brave. I mean, it's just I don't even think there's degrees of separation there. We appreciate you all. I was actually listening, Kim, I just shared with you in during the commercial break. By the way, I gotta say this, Kim, I gotta admit, Kim's favorite Everly Brothers song is "Let It Be Me." Till I Kiss You, it's just a little more snappy, you know? I thought about it. I should have probably gone with it, but I did go with the other. But, you know, I like to tell this story, too. One of the Everly Brothers, I don't remember if it was Phil or Don, but he bought a home near Nashville that Nathan Bedford Forrest had recuperated in after one of his injuries during the war. And he knew Nathan Bedford Forrest had recuperated there. And that was one of the reasons he bought it. There was an article about this years ago before, you know, he had to be embarrassed about something like that. And he said, you know, it was a beautiful story. And I think there's a song there. There's a song in this, and having, you know, bought a home that Forrest recuperated in. Anyway, but all their stuff is good.
Wow.
But I was listening. Yeah. I went back and I was listening just last night, preparing for the show this evening, to some of the Valentine's Day shows past. And I heard your very first appearance on the show, which was only a couple, 3 years ago. And Sam Bushman, our owner here at Liberty News Radio, was paying you such high compliments for your poise on the air. And you had said, you had just written down on your notepad, "Sam is awesome." This is something you don't know. I talked to Sam last week. Okay, I talked to Sam last week. I said, "Sam, I got a show coming up that I might not be able to do. Would you be able to cover for me?" And I haven't had a night off in a couple of years. We haven't played a replay show in years.
Yeah.
And every now and then, if I'm off, Sam will cover for me. He said, "Well, I've got a surgery coming up. Why don't you ask Kim to do it?"
Wow.
He said, "Host the whole show."
Whoa.
He said, "Kim is awesome." which was the exact same thing you said about him. That's the honest to God's truth. No exaggeration.
I feel like an honorary Mormon now. That is awesome. Wow. Wow. Hey, well, you've got a great team there. So.
Well, we got a team. I think Keith's going to cover it, but Sam was pushing for Kim. You know, what can I say? Hey, what do we think about Sam's pick? He didn't go wrong, did he?
No way. I would have definitely chosen her myself. It's no secret that Kim's one of my favorite people in the world.
In the whole world.
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, it's so important to have good examples and to surround yourself with people who encourage you and support you. I mean, it's not easy. You know, being a mom and a wife.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
No,
this is big time.
What?
You can choose not to answer. Is it more fun because you've been on vacations with both? Is it more fun going on a vacation with Kim or David Duke?
Oh, I don't
different
know.
Kinds of fun, right? Different kinds of fun.
That's a hard one because I enjoy going with David. We went to the beach with him. And he had all we went with another family that has a lot of kids too. And so David had all the kids out in waist deep water, maybe a little deeper. And he was teaching them how holding your breath is good for your body or something. And they were having these hold your breath contests in the middle of the ocean, and David was in the middle, and all the kids were surrounding him in a semicircle. It was great.
If you've ever seen Finding Nemo, the teacher of the school of fish is Mr. Ray. David was Mr. Ray, and all the kids were in there's like six kids.
And then
the
his dog was running up and down the beach, and we bathed her together, and then blow dried her hair, and he gave me a lesson on how to brush
different
her hair.
Different kind of fun, but
yeah, no, it's but great. Go but
wow,
no,
I
but
if I
had to choose,
I can't hold a candle to this.
I don't know about that.
If I had to choose, honestly, obviously, it'd be Kim. Because
well, you gotta say.
I mean, I love David Duke. I can't pick. I can't say that it's not as fun, but
we've been on vacation with Sam Bushman and Sam Dixon. Yes. I mean, we go on vacation with all these people.
But Kim just has my heart.
Oh. Man, guys, I'm sweating now. Seriously,
we're a segment. Right? We've already burned through a whole segment. We hadn't even gotten to work yet, but that's what Kim could do. All right, Kim, you take a minute and say just say something you want to say,
James,
and then I'll get to what we're going to talk about in the next segment because we've talked too much here. But
okay, okay, let her go.
Go, Kim.
Okay. Well, I can go in any direction you want me to. You know, for the listeners, you know, we've all known each other a really long time. I still remember getting y'all's wedding invitation, and it really just it goes to show just how fast time goes. I was thinking about this. If we were just to double our friendship, okay, get ready to be scared. It's like, we'll basically be senior citizens. I mean, that is, you know, in 20 years. And I'm,
has it been the blink of an eye, Kim?
It has gone so fast, and you know, we've all tacked on a lot of kids, and we've had a lot of fun together and had a lot of good talks. And it's, you know, when you find friends that you have true things in common with and that you can be yourself around.
Our production
the song.
Team.
There it is.
There it is. All right. Whoa. I should say, when I first met Kim, when Danny and I first met Kim, we had a grand total of 0 kids. Now we've got 9. Now, to be fair, Kim's done a little bit of the heavy lifting there. She's got 6 to our 3, but that's still 9 total.
Still.
That's not bad. That's an average of 4.5.
Wow.
I remember when we went out to eat for the very first time together and you had your first baby, and I couldn't wait to sit next to him, and he threw green beans all over my feet, and you were like, I'm so sorry. I was like, no, it's great.
Oh, well, if he does that now as a teenager, he's going to be in big trouble.
Kim was distracted by the song. I got to give my... I got to give credit to the production team here. It's wonderful production team. Jay and Liz and Cameron and, of course, Sam in the ownership seat. That's a family, too. I mean, we've been with this team for so many years and with Sam since 2009. Yep. I mean, folks, there's a lot of longevity that goes into this program. And anyway, we were sharing some stories with Kim. We'll bring Kim back after this next break, and we'll let her talk about what she wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll quit interrupting.
Yes.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Quiet.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. Girl to hold in my arms, know the magic of her charms. 'Cause I want girl to call.
I was just talking with Kim during the commercial break. My wife and I were making sure that she and her husband will be at TPC's 20th anniversary celebration next fall. Not this fall, but the fall of 2024. Danny said, 20 years? Is that next year?
I mean, that just solidifies how old I'm getting. But well, I was so shy in the beginning, though. I'm so, I mean, I still am for the most part, but I'm so thankful to have these families to grow with.
That's the point. That's the point. Okay, that's the point of the whole last segment, I think. We were having some fun, and it was all true, but I got to tell you, I don't mind telling you. I first met Kim and her husband, although they weren't married yet. I met them both and her sister, who's also been a lifelong
friend. She's great,
too, yeah. At a David Duke conference in New Orleans in the spring of 2004, the show would first go on the air in the fall of that same year, 2004. But we all met because of David Duke, okay? So, you know, there would be, I don't know if we would have ever met. I probably would have met your sister at some point, Kim. But you, I don't know, had it not been for David Duke. So that's the reason for the David Duke mention in the last segment. Although it is true, we love going on vacation with him too. But let's talk about what we brought you on to talk about, Kim. All of the ladies are calling their own shots tonight. And I said, Kim, what would you like to talk about? And this is what she came back with. And it's a
good,
fantastic topic.
Yeah.
Hold on. That's Lacey's. Okay. Here's Kim.
how not getting.
No. Both great. This is important, though. This is very important. How not to get burned out when swimming upstream in today's culture. And then also maintaining healthy relationships and plugging in with other healthy families. This is so key and so essential to
really
anybody
is.
Who's trying to navigate the cultural decline of America.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I finally found the very simple answer of how to not get burned out and stay the course. And that is watch the Grammys. And what I mean by that is I actually didn't watch the Grammys, but you know,
I read about
it on social media or Twitter and I've heard about it. But when it's so in your face with just mocking of Satanism, child pedophilia, you name it. When you feeling burned out, when you feel alone, or when your kids are driving you crazy, or when you think, well, is what I'm doing, is it really that important? Listen or read about what was on the Grammys and know they're coming for your children. They want your children. They want to separate your values and everything you've worked for. They want to separate your children from everything that you are teaching them. And so if you have a hard day, if you have a newborn and you wake up and you've had 2 hours of sleep, or you've had a teenager that you think, wow, is anything working with this teen? Wake up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I will not let them today take my children. I will not let them sacrifice my child to Moloch, you know, the Old Testament reference. You have to stay focused. Now, I think one of my favorite quotes, and I've quoted this several times to you guys, but it's a Robert E. Lee quote, and it's one of the best quotes ever, and it says, do your duty in all things. You can never do more. You should never wish to do less. And I have to remember that, because I don't know the future. I don't know what paths my children are going to take. You know, I hope that they totally absorb everything I've taught them and live these wonderful lives. But, you know, only God knows that. But I do know that today I have a duty. And on the hard days, get a good cup of coffee. Thank you, Sarah Dye. Take your time in the morning, you know, gather yourself together and look at yourself in the mirror and say, today I have a duty. Our people have a duty. And it doesn't mean that will fix everything. It doesn't mean that it can fix, you know, if you're going on 2 hours of sleep with a newborn. But when you have a purpose and you have a mission, you can get over these humps. And as far as it goes with having friends and community, if you are alone, if you don't have anybody around you, you need to find some people. Even if it means driving a couple hours to get together with another family, or if you have some cousins or distant, you know, some relatives that are on the same page as you, seek them out, because our people, we're not islands, and women particularly need to be around other women for encouragement. And I think this goes back to why I love vacationing with you guys, because I get to hang around other like-minded people, you know, and Danny and I can commiserate, and it's encouraging. So, you know, that's just some pieces of advice I have for burnout, is when you look around and you see what's going on, you know, steel yourself and look at yourself and say, yes, today with God's help, I can do this.
It can't, without God and without a community, it can become grinding. It can grind you down to think that, you know, am I the only one who feels this way? Am I the only one who thinks this way? Well, thank God there are others, and there's no shortage of others. And we introduced you as what you are at the beginning of this hour, a homeschooling, home churching, homesteading mother. Now, of course, I would love to give your husband all the credit that he is due. We don't want to mention his name because he's a provider and he works and all of that. But, I mean, believe me, as great as Kim is, her husband is just as great. And I so enjoy his company and his friendship and his encouragement. And every time we're together, just sitting around, whether it be in our living room or your living room, the encouragement and the camaraderie. No man stands alone. I mean, you just mentioned it. No man's an island. That's why solitary confinement is so debilitating and drives people insane. You have to plug in with other healthy families, and it can be done. And there's no shortage of them. We have met so many through this work. I mean, Danny, she was just talking about the blessing of community. The very best people we have met in my life and in your life, I think, you knew, correct
yes,
me.
Yes, absolutely.
You can disagree, has been through the work of this program. Am I right or am I wrong? The very best people we have met have been through this work.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry.
I was distracted by this.
You go ahead, Danny. No.
but Kim, what real advice life, would you give life. For people being able... Now, you and your husband left a place where you were both born.
We've been talking about this a lot lately.
To move to an area with better demographics. And I loved how your husband put it. It buys our children another generation.
And that's that's just been on repeat in a conversation with us.
We're talking about it a lot. We're looking at that area, okay, that y'all are at. But you were able to move there relatively recently, uprooting you and your husband's families, although, you know, you didn't have the big family you have now, but you uprooted what you knew to move to this area. And you're totally plugged in now. You've got the co-op. You've got people that you meet with regularly who share at least somewhat similar values. And other people can do that, too.
Right. And we've been very fortunate in that regard. So if someone is looking to relocate, I would say make sure that, one, if you're the man that's wanting to relocate, that your wife is on board and that she's not going to be resentful. You've got to have a spouse and vice versa. You have to have each person on board. And then when you get to that area, I've seen not a lot of people, but, you know, some families that have moved and they've just become an island and they just hole up and they're afraid to live. Okay. And that doesn't mean you don't protect your children from things or keep them away from bad influences, but seek out the good. And there is good. There are good families. And plug in with a few other families, and it can grow. It doesn't mean everybody is going to agree on everything or that, you know, you have to be over, you know, at your friend's house every single day. But make sure that your kids feel that there are other families that believe the way you do.
Yes, and that's so important.
And give your children a support base, and it will make it a lot easier on them, I feel like, in the teenage years.
And you don't have to have the world. You only have to have a few people, a few close-knit people. Yeah. You know, a community of 10 or 15, 20 people is enough. And Kim, I got to tell you, it's a bittersweet thing every time we talk. I don't want it to end,
but
I'm so proud. Of what we've got, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News. I'm Dave Collins. Another unidentified object has been shot down today. This after one was shot down yesterday, and a Chinese spy balloon was taken out of the sky a week ago. John Schaefer fills us in on today's flying object.
This went over Canadian airspace. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeting that Canadian and U.S. aircraft were scrambled and a U.S. F-22 successfully shot it down. NBC correspondent Dan DeLuce raising the question, why are we seeing so many?
Is this because there's a heightened sensitivity as the U.S. and the Canadian military watch the airspace over North America? Or is there something else here? Is it connected to a foreign adversary?
The high-altitude airborne object shot down over the Yukon. Trudeau said he has spoken with President Biden, and Canadian forces will now recover the object. I'm John Schaefer.
The Texas Department of Public Safety says no more troopers will be disciplined over the response to the Uvalde mass shooting. The DPS investigated the conduct of seven troopers. One was fired and another faces termination. The Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton talks about when it actually hit him that he was playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow.
It really didn't hit me until I probably walked across the stage, man. I saw the trophy for the first time in person. It's not one of those things you kind of watch on TV, never really see it in person, but you see it in person, makes it all real.
Super Bowl 57 on Fox. It begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. SpaceX is planning to send more Starlink satellites into orbit this weekend if the weather cooperates. The private space company has a launch scheduled for just after midnight, early Sunday morning, at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. But the launch conditions are only 20% go. Forecasters are concerned about strong winds and clouds in the area. Monday is the backup day. This is USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit. Call Omega Accounting Solutions to see if your business is eligible to recover payroll tax pay during the pandemic. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute consultation to determine your qualifications. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-309-ERC. Omega's knowledgeable staff will streamline the process of filing complicated paperwork. Omega is the small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. CPAs even turn to Omega for ERC guidance. Take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit before it's too late. The 3-year sunset deadline is setting soon. So find out if you qualify today. Call 800-309-ERC. That's 800-309-ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Valentine's Day weekend. If you can't tell by the intro music each segment, I'll remind you it's Valentine's Day coming up this week, and we have the ladies to prove it tonight, and we are about halfway through the show. You've already heard from Cyan Quinn and Sarah Dye, and then from our friend Kim, and now our friend Lacey, who... Wow, Lacey, let's just get to her introduction here. Lacey is a former Eagle Forum activist and former YouTuber, but a current full-time homemaker and homeschooling mother of three. And Lacey's been appearing on the show for a few years now in different capacities. Valentine's Day, yes, but more than that. We just talked to her as recently as, I believe, last Christmas, so just a few weeks ago, not too long ago, a couple of months now. Always great to talk to Lacey. Lacey, how are you tonight?
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me on again. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, you're very welcome. We're doing good. Always good to hear your voice, and I know you and I and my wife were all talking in the break, and we were asking another Valentine's Day dinner. Supper, excuse me. We are in the South. We had that a couple of years ago, but now Texas was under ice for the original date of that particular Valentine's Day supper, and so we had to move it to a little bit later, a few weeks later, but that was something we still talk about. That was something that you hosted at your home.
Well, thank you. I want to have y'all back, but I know it's so far, so... I feel kind of selfish asking for y'all to come back. Like maybe we should go visit y'all and give y'all a break from your traveling. But we haven't got the invite yet, so you have to invite us.
Well, I am inviting you right now, as we were talking with Kim about just a few moments ago. Next fall, everybody can put a little bee in their bonnet on this. Next fall will be the 20th anniversary of the inception of TPC. So the 20th anniversary Yay. Conference we will have somewhere in the South at an exact date and location still to be determined. But Lacey, if you're not there, as I told Kim, we're just not going to do it.
Oh, well, let me go talk to my husband.
Well, hey, you and your husband were at one of our recent events, and you were a speaker, and you did a bang-up job, if I do say so myself.
Oh, thank you.
Hopefully
thank you.
You'll remember.
I was so nervous. I was shaking. I do remember it.
No, you were the true living embodiment, the reincarnation. We don't believe in that, but you were a true Phyllis Schlafly. That's a tough last name to pronounce.
Schlafly, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It was a great event.
It was a good event, and all of our events are, because we have such great people like you, like Kim, like the ladies that are on tonight. They're all there, and so many wonderful families from across the country. Well, anyway, Lacey, let's get down to brass tacks tonight. It is Valentine's Day, so let's talk about the reason you're on tonight. As I mentioned, all of the ladies calling their own shots this evening, and I'm trying to slide through my notes here, and here is yours. So you want to talk tonight. This is an important topic. I was sharing with my wife yesterday about what each of the ladies would be talking about tonight, and she nodded her head in agreement with regards to the topic that you had chosen, no-fault divorce. And I'm reading directly from your note, no-fault divorce, how it began and how it was passed and how it impacted society, even modern Christian society. So if you're looking for the biblical causes for divorce, there are only two: abandonment by a non-believer and adultery. It doesn't say you can get divorced if you stop having the fun you thought you'd have or if things get hard. A lot of people are doing that, even Christians, even people in our community. So Lacey, where would you begin with that topic?
Well, I was talking to my husband and I said, you know, I've quit YouTube. I quit YouTube because, well, for a couple of reasons. One of them is, you know, a baby. And then another reason is, like, once you get to the point of feminism is communism, and my niche kind of being the traditional woman and all of that. Well, where else do you go from that? I mean, there's nothing else really to say. So I felt like I had said it all. So last year when you invited me on the show for Valentine's Day, it had just been on my mind, and I was saying, okay, we're going to talk about arranged marriages. I want to arrange everybody's baby's marriage.
Maybe we should talk about that, actually. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Let's just put pause very quickly here. Are you against that, Danny?
No. I want my babies to have a man or a woman with a like-minded family and raised in the same values that we are.
Yeah, so, I mean, Lacey, so we've got two daughters and a son. You've got two sons and a daughter.
It's perfect.
And then I told my husband, I said, I think that the Edwards might think that we're kind of like after them.
I wasn't exactly where my wife was going, but the thing is, I tell my wife all the time, this is just a quick departure from No Fault Divorce, which we've got to get to. It's very important. But you mentioned the topic of arranged marriages, and I joke, but I don't joke. I'm not against that at all. I think it's a wonderful way to go. And for my two daughters, now I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter. We have an 8-year-old son. I worry for my son because I know he'll have to be a provider in this degenerate age that is only getting worse with each subsequent year. Totally different than the world I inherited, having been born in 1980. He was born in 2010. I mean, it's just totally 14. Different. What? He was born in 2014.
Yeah.
Who was born in 2010? That was it. Isabel. That was Isabel.
That's okay.
All right. Well,
it was an innocent.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep going.
All right. Anyway, well.
I'm sorry.
You're right. But for my daughters, though. My one wish, and we actually had Spencer on last week, who wrote the book, The No College Club, which is something that Courtney's going to be talking about in the next hour, actually.
That's an important topic, too.
But my hope for my daughters, my 12-year-old and my 2-year-old daughters, are that they find a husband that will provide for them and that will lead, guide, and direct them in a biblical way, and that they can join with to raise families like ours and like yours, Lacey, and like Kim's, and like Courtney, and like everybody that's on the show tonight. That's my dream for my daughters. My son will have to go out and get a job. But for my daughters, I only want them to marry well. Is that wrong?
No.
No. And I absolutely feel the same. You know, we were recently talking to some friends, and they were asking what we have planned for our children in the future. And I said, well, my daughter's going to get married, and my two sons are not going to college, but they're being mentored into a trade by their dad, and they're definitely going to be going into the family business, so to speak. And that those are very controversial things to say out in the world.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But I truly believe that is the best for our children and their future. And it doesn't matter if it's unpopular. We have to protect them and guide them in the way that set them up for success. And I truly believe that's
and for people who are from like-minded, healthy, God-oriented families to want to pair up their children with people from similar families with similar values, I think that is just the natural and right thing to do. But that's not what you're here to talk about tonight. We've got about a minute left this segment. We're going to bring you back for the next segment. But No Fault Divorce, the ravages of No Fault Divorce on society at large, but also within the community of believers.
Absolutely. So I was talking to my husband. I said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't have anything to talk about. And I had recently had a little Facebook tiff with somebody from a Christian group, actually a few people from a Christian group on Facebook. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be talking about No Fault Divorce. And I thought it was very Phyllis Schlafly on Valentine's Day show to say, let's talk about arranged marriages and let's talk about no-fault divorce.
But it's right up our alley, Lacey.
Yeah.
You found the right show. I know you found the right show. My wife, with her dimple, nodding and smiling in agreement. Arranged marriages and no-fault divorces, that's something we can get behind here. And I know we're running out on this segment, but Lacey has sent me an entire outline of the point she'd like to make about no-fault divorce, which we will get into in the next segment. But Lacey, talk about, with just seconds remaining before the music starts, the idea that it becomes less fun, it becomes too hard, you can bail out and get a divorce and try to find something better, the ravages that that has on not just yourselves, but your children. We'll talk about that and everything else she wants to talk about when she comes back. Lacey Lynn, we'll link over to her Twitter, which is semi-defunct, but from every now and then she'll get a retweet. And go back to her YouTube videos. She's not actively posting there, but there's a lot of good content you can go back and revisit. Go to the top of our Twitter page, at James Edwards DPC, and you can find it all. Lacey Lynn will be back with us right after this.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Gentlemen, a couple of different kinds of love. There is the Eros love between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and the agape love that we share with all of you in our listening audience, all of the guests that come on this program each and every week, but especially tonight. What a fantastic ladies' night. What a fantastic thing that we do here, I believe, every Valentine's Day, the show nearest to Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, an excuse to have the ladies on to talk about these topics, and it's a good enough excuse for us, if you don't mind me saying so. Back with us right now is Lacey Lynn, and she's been a long time, and as we often say, a dear good friend. So we're talking about no-fault divorce, the idea that you can get divorced because it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel right. If it feels good, do it. We're not having fun. It's getting a little bit too hard. We're going to bail. how much it damages children and how much it damages a legacy of a man and a woman. Let's talk about that, Lacey, and let's talk about those bullet points that you sent me. You have a very good outline tonight, and I'd like to give you all the runway you need to get to it.
Awesome. Okay, so as I was saying before the break, I was kind of at a loss. What am I going to talk about? And I kind of threw out there, kind of jokingly, well, I just had this argument on Facebook about no-fault divorce. I'll talk about no-fault divorce. And then I seriously considered it, and I'm like, well, yeah, let's do it. So what had happened in this Facebook group, and every time that I said this online, you know, on YouTube, my comment section would be Catholic or be Orthodox. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm Protestant. I know, but that I'm in a Reformed Facebook group. And it was very disappointing when there was a post about marriages and how people just aren't staying together anymore, that I found in the comment section there was several women, not just one, not just two, but several women who had been divorced, and they were saying that they believed in the no-fault divorce policy. So I was doing the thing, you know, arguing on Facebook like you really shouldn't be doing. But it just baffles my mind because, you know, I get off of YouTube and, you know, we're all very familiar, you know, in our right-wing circles on the internet. But then I go on to Facebook and I'm thinking, oh, there are people who still think like this. Oh, okay. So I was just kind of laughing at the whole thing. One lady said that she had been abused in her previous marriage, and the reason why she had gone with no-fault divorce is because she had to do that in order to skip a trial. And if you were going to go for fault divorce, you had to go through a trial. And I'm saying, okay, so you're going to accuse a man of abuse, and you're going to want to settle alimony, you're going to want to settle property, and you're going to want to settle custody, and you don't want to go through a trial. That's ruining somebody's life. That's taking their children away from them. That's taking half of their money, half of their property. And this is a very legal process. Divorce is a legal process, and you want to go for no-fault divorce because you want to accuse somebody of a crime, but you don't want to prove it in trial. And then, you know, of course, abuse is not always able to be proven in trial and da 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 da. So I start looking at the history of no-fault divorce. So should we just get into it?
I am, as I listen to you, I am reading your bullet points here. Should I read them aloud to the audience, or are you going to get to them one by one? Because I don't think any of them should be skipped over.
No, I'll get to them. So the first the first modern no-fault divorce law came from, where do we think it came from? And the audience can guess. Okay, Bolshevik Russia. If you think Bolshevik Russia, then you get a piece of candy or something. Because you're right. And it came from the communists, of course. So that is the history. That's where it originates from. The first modern no-fault divorce came from 1917, Bolshevik Russia, which I think is very interesting when we get to America in 1947. Now, there was a National Association of Women Lawyers. And can we guess what ethnicity these women were? Do we need to? So all these.
No, I'm reading from your notes. By all means, please do tell us. For anybody who may not.
They were Jewish.
They were Jewish.
Jewish are mostly predominantly Jewish group of women lawyers started working. They founded their group in 1918, started working on pushing no-fault divorce in 1947. In 1966, I didn't write down his name, the governor before Reagan, Pat somebody. Oh, I forgot his name. But he wanted to gather a commission of people to establish family court in California because they had seen divorce rise, and there was talk within the lawyer community and the psychologists that divorce was too contentious in the court. Because of these strict divorce laws, you had to have fault, so you had to catch somebody in the act. And what they were saying at the time was that this was creating a problem with people planting evidence or staging something to come into, right, so that they could find fault. And just like the 1965 Immigration Act, what they did is say, oh, this is for the good of the country. No longer will people be staging adultery scenes or something like that in order to walk into so they will find fault. What this will do is help marriages in the end. So the 1965 Immigration Act, of course, it's going to be good for your economy to have all this immigration. And I promise it won't change the landscape of America, right? So what they were saying is this is going to be good for marriage. All these psychologists, Jewish women feminists, and these family court lawyers are saying, no, we're totally going to save marriage here. So in 1967, they drafted up the nation's first no-fault divorce bill, and it got passed to our, you know, conservative hero, Ronald Reagan, who signed it into law in 1969. Divorce rates went from 1950, 2.5%, in 1980 to 5.2%, more than doubled. So that is the, you know, we will save marriages and the American family effect there. With
what are they, you know, what are they at now? Do you know? I have never even looked into this question. I'd like to know what is the divorce rate in 2023?
I think it's for 4 point something. I was looking it up actually just a couple of days ago for research. I didn't write it down, but I did see that it has fallen since 5.2, and I think there were some articles that I went past that say millennials are not actually getting divorced, but I don't think they're getting married much
either.
They're
not getting married.
Because they're not getting married. Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if you had told me it was 40% now, to be honest with you, in the era of no-fault divorce. Four.
Well, it's only
it's a hookup culture.
Exactly.
No, I think that percentage is one, or like the way that it works is there is 4 point something per thousand.
So only 4% of the of married couples are getting divorced. I saw a yard sign on like a right of way on the interstate not long ago. It's like $90 divorces. So I was like, you gotta be doing a lot of volume to make a living being a divorce lawyer at $90 a pop.
Well, I don't think it's exactly, you know, the percentage that, you know, comes out of 100. I don't think it's that. So it's like a rate, like this many per 1,000 or something like that. Yeah. So
it's
close
to
50%.
About...
If you're going to take a poll of 100, it's like 50%.
Okay. Now that's what I'm talking about. That seems a little bit more realistic, but let's talk about this. So the ravages of it, the effect on divorce rates, not just on society, but how they've affected the church and Christian culture. I went to a private Christian school that was founded by the Southern Baptists. It was called a Segregation Academy at one point. I don't know what they call it now. They certainly don't call it that, but that's what it was. And I was in school there in the 80s and then through the mid-90s. And then the last few years, I homeschooled. But there was one teacher, of all the teachers in the whole faculty, she got a divorce. Her name was Miss Miller 1 year, and then she was Miss Sykes. I was like, everybody's like, what in the world is this? And she got a divorce, and everybody was like, oh, you know, it was unbelievable. It was unfathomable. Now, I don't know what the situation was with her, if her husband ran out on her or whatever the situation, but she was the only of all of the faculty there, which was predominantly female teachers, obviously, the only one that had ever gotten a divorce in my whole time there, you know, from kindergarten through ninth grade. But I don't think that's the way it is anymore. So it has had a devastating effect, not just on society at large, but also amongst believers. We got a minute left with you, Lacey.
Oh, it's awful. And to hear so many women in a Christian group say, I've been divorced, and I know we're not supposed to stigmatize and all of that, but it's heartbreaking.
Sad. It is.
Really, and sad. And my son was in Sunday school recently, was complaining about one of his friends on the street that he's not a nice kid because his parents are divorced. And then the Sunday school teacher comes to me, and my kid didn't say anything wrong. And apparently he got in trouble for saying that. It's so sad.
Well, hey, no discipline needed on that young man, if I do say so myself. No. Lacey, thank you so much. Like with Kim, I felt like we talked over the topic a little bit, but
need more time. And when you're having
we could go an hour
sensitive subjects
an
like
hour
this.
With all of these ladies tonight. Go to the top of our Twitter handle, link over to her YouTube videos. They're all worth revisiting. Lacey, we'll talk to you again soon. My best to you, your husband, and your children. We'll be back with the third hour next.